Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? One more day of ignoring TRP and talking about AI safety that doesn't make sense without considering the evolutionary game at play here. That is not surprising. The entirety of the AI world is completely ignoring the only theory that explains to them where are the dangers, where are the greatest dangers with AI. They are existential ones. They are... I'm trying to log in here on Odyssey. Somehow Odyssey logged me off just at the moment the show was starting. Yeah, Odyssey has a problem. It's like it can't log in or something. Anyways, hopefully I can still view the regular chat. I hope that I'll be able to log during the show because that will allow me to view the super chats. Go away, says JF, has already stated that the only way to prevent TRP is to have scientific consensus enforced, which implies the formation of committees or analogs of such. I guess that you can think that in the future the committees would actually understand TRP. But what I mean by my title is you won't get AI safety from the committees of today. If the committees are formed by people who ignore the only scientific theory that has ever come up with a solid prediction on what's about to happen, is the revolutionary phenotype. Only thing that plays in that ballpark at all. You can have speculations in a book about future robots. That is one thing. It's another thing to have a scientific theory that says these events keep happening again and again. And it's happening to us now. And here's what we can conclude from the structure of the evolution game, the evolutionary game at play here. Go away was saying, will JF apply the theory of stakeholder capitalism when designing his committee on TRP? And will he allow representatives of the non-reproductive incel community to sit on the committee? No. No. If I was to ever build a committee for AI safety, it would be certainly the case that to enter this committee, you need to be in the evolutionary game. That is, you need to have demonstrated your willingness to reproduce more than replacement rate. So you need to have more than two babies to be on the TRP committee. Let's start there. Because if you get the non-reproductives onto the committee, how could these people possibly protect humanity from great dangers ahead if they cannot even protect themselves? All right, so now Odyssey has worked. I'm now logged in, and hopefully that will allow me to receive the super chats and chat. Fractalman says, seems to be working, was a bit wonky though. Yeah, for some reason at 7 p.m. Eastern time, exactly as the show started, their server reset. So hopefully it will work. Someone shared this on the Discord. I keep seeing these moms, whenever I go to the park to play with the family, and they come to the park with their big SUV. They are like relatively rich or upscale type of moms, but you can see that they have a past that is archer than their current life with one or two children. And this meme was saying, thinking about how I used to date drug dealers and smoke a pack a day, and now I'm someone's whole ass wife and mom, shopping for organic groceries and living in the suburbs. There are so many of these. It's amazing. When I see them come at the park with their children, I'm like, aha, I know what you are. I know what kind of whore you are. I don't say it to them loudly. I just think of it in my head. And I'm like, aren't you lucky? Aren't you lucky that you didn't end up dumped in a ditch after being raped by a bunch of criminals. Aren't you lucky that despite your past life, here you are with only a few tattoos left as kind of permanent injuries to your body that indicate who you used to be. And now here you are being a middle-class woman with your kids. Go away, says JF. Todd. JF, thought patrolling at the local kids' park. JF, thought patrolling at the local kids' park. That is exactly what I do. Oh man, I'm staying there silent and I'm just laughing my ass off. Oh God. Elon Musk's dad, Errol, says we are being brainwashed to be told. No, but James says not good optics. I'm not saying any of this. I'm just standing on the bench and I'm judging. It's not like I approach these moms, and I wouldn't want to get in trouble with their boyfriends who must be around somewhere. And so I'm like, don't intervene, JF. The natural world will handle all of it. We will return to equilibrium. Elon Musk's dad, Errol, says we are being brainwashed to be told that Ukraine is good and Russia is bad, and yet they have found multiple bioweapon laboratories belonging to the United States and Ukraine. This is an interesting passage because I think that Errol wants to say something. But I think he loves his son enough not to say it as clearly as he could have. You're going to see him repeat a sentence twice, the exact same sentence. And I think that there's a psychological process happening in Elon Musk's father's head here. It's when you repeat a sentence to kind of re-verify that everything about it is non-dog whistling. But the fact that you do is a dog whistle in and of itself. Listen to what he has to say about the warmongers.
We are being brainwashed to be told that Ukraine is good and Russia is bad. And yet they have found multiple bioweapon laboratories belonging to the United States in Ukraine. The Ukraine is led by a stand-up comedian who became president, which is extremely odd to me. I wish him good luck, but it's extremely odd to me. Then I would say, if you look at Biden himself, he's obviously not running the United States. The United States appears to me, is being run by a bunch of misfits.
So here's the key to his commentary. Joe Biden isn't managing the United States, isn't running the United States. The United States is being run by a bunch of misfits.
Who are getting revenge for having been treated as misfits over the years.
Who are getting revenge for having been treated as misfits over the years. And when you have your eyes looking to the ceiling like this, this means that the area of your brain that is looking for words, for looking for inspiration on how to phrase it. People who analyze facial expressions during lying, for example, will tell you that it can be associated with lying. But I think it's not just lying. I think it's you are dedicating a lot of brain power to find the right words. And here, the right words is misfit. That way, it cannot be interpreted as a dog whistle.
That's what it appears to me to be. It has been run by a bunch of misfits who are getting revenge for being treated as misfits.
Now, there is no reason why someone who is so eloquent as Elon Musk would repeat a sentence twice. I believe that the reason he repeats it twice is because he's he's processing here. Is it safely stated? But what he's talking about is the fact that the United States is controlled by a set of interests who are vengeful, and they are vengeful against Russia. And when he says they have been treated as misfits throughout the years, I don't think he's talking about the last 5 years. I think he's talking about the last 1,000 years, 2,000 years. And I believe that ultimately Elon Musk has an understanding that the entire revenge fantasy against Russia that is playing out among our technocratic class is ultimately rooted in a form of racial hatred that stems from the Jewish people being frustrated that they weren't let to do more with Russia, to enact more of their communist dream with Russia. And the quest for vengeance that is happening here is a racial one. I believe that Elon Musk couldn't be clearer that he understands this entire thing. And he understands it so much that he's willing to even select alternative words so that he doesn't hurt the reputation of his son by talking about it. Very interesting. A dude jumps off the second floor trying to get away after robbing a Apple store. Look at this. This guy plans for escape after, well, what could you steal from an Apple store that you can bear on your person? Maybe a phone? Maybe an iPhone? If you get the new generation, maybe you just stole something worth $1,000 new approximately, and you're going to have to sell it, so it's going to be less than $1,000. This guy is willing to sacrifice his life to escape the Apple store with his $1,000 stolen. Look at this.
Oh my God, I'm sick! Oh shit! Go, come on, y'all.
That is a severe fall, my friend. You could have brain damage. You could have broken all of your limbs. Holy shit, let's look at it again.
Oh,
the impact on the head. I mean, he has absorbed with the whole of his body, so he didn't fall head first or leg first. He divided the force throughout his whole body weight. That is kind of good, but it does more extensive damage to the whole of the body. But at least the force is divided.
Oh my God, I'm sick!
Boom! Everything at the same time. Now, the shock to the head is way too strong there. This is not... It's enough to potentially kill you.
Oh, shit!
And look at this. He tries to walk.
Oh, my God.
He has no capacity to walk. He probably broke a couple of things in his leg. He probably is extremely affected to the brain. So no coordination, you know, things stop working with that amount of force.
His leg, yeah. Is his neck? He broke something.
Holy shit. Now, he realizes he's in pain on the legs.
Oh my God, I'm sick! Oh shit!
What the fuck are people willing to go through for petty theft? DK Shadow says the medical bill isn't worth it. Something tells me this guy doesn't pay his medical bills. Something tells me he's going to be on some government program that forces emergencies to save people, because there's no way this is stemming from a rational economic consideration. Fractal Man says, not sure there is much in that guy's skull to start with. That's a good point. T.S. Apostolos says, dude broke his hip. Yeah, very possible that his hip is broken. I have no idea. Happiest place on earth, Disney World, subject to another brawl, another collective brawl. Whenever I start playing these videos, I'm like, hey, there's a couple of white people in there. And then as I play the video, it's like, oh no, the white people are there trying to stop the fight. Look at this. So it's the main fight happens between two black guys here and here, a black girl here, a black girl here, or I don't know, maybe race mix. There's one of the persons in the fight that is carrying a child as she fights. Fat is winning, says Lendold Guntram. I think they are mostly fat, most of them, so I don't know what that means. I can't believe that you would carry a child and somehow seek to get involved in it. Look at this, the child is here. Now, you're gonna say, JF, is it the environment or is it the genes that make this child stupid when he grows up? That leads this child to be a criminal. And I'm like, what do I see here? I see an environment made up of genes. This guy has genes, this guy has genes, this girl has genes, this girl has genes. Somehow these genes made it into the child, but these genes also create an environment where the child will be shaken with his brain inside his cranium much more than a child should ever be. You know, as a child, you shouldn't have encountered mechanical conflict to the extent where you could have a mini concussion happening. Naberius says, 90s kids, let's go to Disneyland and ride the rides. Kids today, let's go to Disneyland and see widespread brawling. And how can you want to... Look, I'm looking at this guy. He has a Mickey Mouse t-shirt. How can you want to ruin your own holiday that you've paid with massive amounts of money, which I would never spend? To me, a weekend at Disneyland with the family, with plane travel, with hotel paid, I'm willing to pay $9 for it. But these people are willing to pay something like $10,000 for it, because that must be what they end up spending with all the passes and the hotels and the plane flights, whatever. So these people have put a significant sum of money for this weekend. How can you want to ruin it and transform it into an occasion for brawl? A man was arrested at a Russian airport in Moscow trying to bring gold onto the plane and flee the country. He wasn't lucky. His gold was too big and it was spotted. Look at this. Too massive. That is a lot of gold. 99.99, 2023. 12302.3. Man, that was worth $1.9 million, apparently. $1.6 million, two gold bars. This is part of the reason why I say to the people who say, JF, it's all about gold. Why do you put your money into Bitcoin? And yeah, Barnaby Brutto, Bitcoin is better. Bitcoin is better. DK Shadow says, kind of bold to try to sneak an entire bar. I mean, two. Yeah, it is bold. I mean, with Bitcoin, the guy would have had a piece of paper. He could have written words that don't even relate to his seed word, but that somehow to him allow him to recover his seed words. I mean, a police agent will see you with this. They don't know what it means. They don't know what it's about. You can carry it on your person. No problem. Goway says he should have sold his gold for BTC before he fled. Exactly. That would have worked. We have a collective fight emerging here. A white guy appears to be approached by, I don't know, a mix of black people and some kind of Muslims with veils. I don't know what they're doing there. And see, this is why don't engage in this kind of stuff. Don't ever even be there. You're not going to get a fair fight. They are 5-1, and it's always going to be that way. There's no amount of ninja talent that can get you out of this situation. The only ninja talent that can get you out of this situation is the talent of not being there in the first place.
They're beating him! He's a white guy! They're beating him! He's a horrible nigga!
Bitch! You see the fly, bitch! Okay. You see the fly, bitch!
They're beating him!
Are you okay? All right, so apparently he's doing fine.
That's why we're almost...
A little scratch on the neck. Thankfully, he seems to be standing and fine. But yeah, there's no way you're going to win against this. You need to be out of these places. Puzim says, lucky they are vicious, but don't know how to really hurt. Yeah, it's a form of collective just bashing in very unproductive ways. I agree. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Make sure you add a payment method to your account if you'd like to send Super Chats. Alternatively, feel free also to use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Doubting Thomas says, JF, do you recall which JFG Tonight guest had a theory to explain the strong force with the Casimir effect? I've been doing a deep dive into the literature on the effect for my personal research and found a reference where something very similar was done. Brown and Rowe, Physics Today, 1983. Ray Fleming was the name of the man. You can check out his YouTube channel, Ray Fleming. You will find all of his videos on the subjects as well as links to his book, Ray Fleming. Medinal Wolves has a good questioning of someone who was holding on to a... That's an example of leftist not thinking it through. Leftists sometimes will say stuff, you haven't thought it through. You haven't even made a step of thinking, like a single step of questioning. She was saying a German is someone who is born in Germany. Someone says to her, you will never be German. She says, I never claimed to be, but my dad is half German. And Medinal Wolves asks, was he half born in Germany? Excellent question. That's true. There's no such thing as half German if Germanness is determined by where you are born. You cannot be born on the border with France. That would be the only way to be half German then. A psychiatrist working with Texas Children's Hospital's Child Sex Change Program explains how he circumvents parental rights concerns by telling family that if they do not affirm their child's preferred name and pronouns, they will increase the risk of suicide.
So really the mother asked me, you know, what about my parental rights, my rights as a parent, you know, really asking me, can you call my child their preferred name and pronouns? Okay. So, and I had a student with me, and I said, you know, ma'am, you do have many parental rights, but I have to adhere to my own ethical standards as a physician. And I know the best thing to do for this child, their mental health, and really even their risk of suicide is to provide, is to show them that respect of using the pronouns they go by, using the name they go by. And I'm often kind of working with families in the sense that, you know, I'm not here to kind of question your entire worldview or belief system, but to work with you as a consultant. I can tell you both from experience and from the research, your child is less likely to both attempt and die by suicide if we use supportive terminology with them and an open mind. And they're much less likely to have morbidity from anxiety, depression, and a number of other psychiatric issues.
There's a lot of things that I don't find evidence for in what he just said. I'm looking at this study, for example. This study had found no impact on anxiety of doing the sex change, gender-affirming intervention, as they call it. This study first was done on very few individuals. By the end of the 12-month follow-up study, 69 individuals had received one of the treatments. 35 youths hadn't received the intervention. First, these studies are not even double-blind, and on top of it, they are made on ridiculously small samples. This study, for example, had no impact on anxiety. Now, it claimed that there was a 73% less likely to experience suicidality. But that is based on thoughts of suicide. The problem with thoughts of suicide rather than actual suicide being recorded in your study, the problem is that it's influenced a lot by the aggressivity of the mind of the individual. It's influenced a lot by how aggressively the individual is willing to report his own self-state. And because you have people in this domain who are such political militants for the idea that the cross-sex solution is the right one, you will have kids who will hide their own symptoms under certain hormonal mixes. They will want the cure to have worked, so much so that they will want to deceive the study to say, oh yeah, now I'm feeling better. It's not because they say they're feeling better that they're feeling better. And it's not because they say that they don't experience suicidality that they won't commit suicide down the line. So you have to be extremely careful about these broad claims made on extremely small support. And when I just read through the study, I'm like, oh, okay, that's the catch. They didn't record suicide for real. They had too much of a small sample. They recorded thoughts of suicide. And the problem in this domain is that you just can't trust the people, the patient. It is absolutely ridiculous to trust the patient in this domain, because the patient is part of an influence activist group, of an activist group seeking political influence. So you're playing a game of politics with your patients, and they're playing a game of politics with your study. That's why the only solution is double-blind, non-self-reported, actual objective measures. But will we ever get there in the trans domain? I think we may never. I think they're going to try to pass this like the vaccines. Oh, well, it's too important. We can't have a control group. E. Mayer says, what is a good sample size for that? Well, a sample size that satisfies me when I review a pharmaceutical study on a new drug something like 60,000 people. 30,000 people have taken the drug. 30,000 people have taken a placebo control that they didn't know of, and a true double-blind setting. I won't complain if you can obtain a significant effect in this kind of circumstance. It's not that you'll always be right. Sometimes there will have been misleads. Sometimes you will have errors. You will have false positives. And sometimes you will have just fraud in the results. But to me, it's my threshold where I say, okay, we have something of quality here. A double-blind study with tens of thousands of people and tens of thousands of people in both groups, not a situation in which that's what they've done here. They have recruited the people, the young people, and then they have let them choose their path. If you let them choose their path, you don't have a double-blind study anymore. And then you can have a selection effect. Because perhaps the people, the young people who are most willing to go for the cross-sex hormone, perhaps they have a completely different disorder. Or perhaps they are more political about it. Or perhaps they are more activists. Perhaps they have been socially influenced more to want this cure to work. And so that's where you lose the science here. It's not a science study anymore. John Drake says, people are crazy in large numbers. I couldn't care less what they report about themselves. Means nothing. That is my attitude, but it's certainly not the mainstream attitude in the fields of psychology, because self-report still dominates in psychology. There is a fringe group of psychologists, and I used to be one of them because I was kind of a cognitive psychologist, although mostly on monkeys, but I was doing some human studies, and I've always held the belief that self-report is like nothing. You might as well ask for nothing. He Mayer says, lol, how many trans people are really trans? I mean, that is a almost unanswerable question. Because how are you going to define the true trans? It's like the no true Scotsman fallacy. There is not a single definition, and across different environments, you'll have people who with the same genes 100 years ago would have went on to live a fully heterosexual lifestyle, and today they will be recruited in a LGBT movement. If she has one of these piercings, she will ruin your life, but the sex will be amazing. The nose piercing, broken girl. The ear piercing, like this, through the ear, broken girl. The tongue piercing, broken girl who likes to suck dick. The belly piercing, broken girl who has a belly. Yes, I can confirm any of these piercings indicate severe trauma that will eventually result in her playing with your emotion, destroying your life in every possible way. But they are more these broken girls are somehow more motivated in sex. They see sex as an area of performance, and they want to please you. So my policy is never say no to sex, but just know that when you get involved with these girls, it's going to wreck your life, but you get the sex. This morning, I almost committed a Canadian crime. I realized, holy shit, I mean, the ideological laws in Canada are here, because I had covered this law. You know, it's a law that purports to be against conversion therapy. But then, you can guess already, I'm sure, only one type of conversion is illegal. It's trying to convert someone who's homosexual or trans toward heterosexuality or cisgenderism, non-trans. The conversion in the other sense is absolutely legal in Canada, but the conversion from this side to the normocentric attitude is illegal, and you cannot give publicity for a service that would do that. Now, I saw this morning a tweet about a program offered by a mom who guides children away from gender ideology. And it's a little blog, but she says, you know, I have a program. I had my own son, I believe it's her son or her daughter, wanted to switch gender, and eventually she convinced them against this belief and going on with their cisgenderism. And she says, as a result of this, I've developed an experience and I can help you with my blog. I was about to click retweet. I was like, oh, this is cool. A mom who has found a way with her child and has resolved the issue. I was about to click retweet, and then suddenly, you know, like Minority Report style, I start handling all of the Canadian laws. My brain has a reflex now. It's like, is it compatible with every single written Canadian law? And as I was ready to press retweet, oh, my brain finds, no, there is actually a law against me retweeting this. There is the conversion therapy bill. I've said it in the discussion below. Bill C4. Bill C4 in Canada. This enactment amends the criminal code to, among other things, create the following offenses. A, causing another person to undergo conversion therapy. So imagine, I retweet the thing. Some Canadian basketball lesbian player, you know, goes to this conversion therapy. And then she goes to court and she says, well, it's the retweet of Papa JF who led me to this criminal therapy. I would have committed a crime under A, causing another person to undergo conversion therapy. Promoting or advertising conversion therapy. Receiving a financial or other material benefit from the provision of conversion therapy. And here, of course, conversion therapy is designated as anything that would seek to turn you from being trans or homosexual toward cisgenderism or heterosexuality. I was very close. This is, on top of it, this is not just little fines or whatever. It's the criminal code. I would basically be a felon had I retweeted this. DK Shadow says, you need to add a retweets are not endorsements tag in your bio. Well, thankfully, I caught it before I retweeted. He Mayer is showing scenes of the police raid in the regular chat. I love that Odyssey. You can put animated GIFs. And so here you can see the Canadian police entering my home. This is exactly what would have happened. And they're breaking things on the wall. That's so funny. Oh my God, nice image. Ali Mayer says, how did that guy do a GIF in the chat? A GIF in the chat. I don't know if it's GIF or JIF. I've never known. I don't know how he does. You're going to have to ask him. Barnabé Budo says, be me, an honest citizen. Think of a crime as theft, vandalism, fraud, murder, defamation, and such. No, in that case, my retweet would have been a crime. Well, thank God I know Canadian law, like on the tip of my fingers. You won't catch me. I really don't want to violate the law. Sometimes I disagree with the law. Here I disagree. I have said my view when they enacted this law back in the days. I think it is a discriminatory law, because you're allowing the conversion toward homosexuality. There's no problem with this, right? You can have a LGBT camp that does exactly conversion therapy, but in the sense that you like it. So to me, it's the example of a discriminatory law. It's discrimination against heterosexuality. But even when I disagree with the law, because of my generally European attitude and culture, I don't want to violate the law. I don't want to. I make every effort not to. And in this case, the effort happened just at the last second. Go Away says, this news story from last week really highlights the point you were making yesterday about the shared trauma of the Jewish community due to the Holocaust. Grafton middle school teacher arrested after threatening students over swastika drawing. Police say the teacher, who is Jewish, alleges he became angry after he found a notebook featuring swastikas. Grafton police say they arrested John Long middle school teacher for making terrorist threats towards students in his classroom on Friday. Seventh grader Ethan Paulus was in the classroom and explained, I don't really know what was going through my head. I was just so shocked that I couldn't really think. He said it started when a student discovered a discarded piece of paper with swastikas drawn on it on the floor of the classroom. That student then turned the paper in to their teacher, who is Jewish. At first, he kind of just acted normal. He just put it on his desk, like, I'm going to tell the office about this. But then he picked up the piece of paper and went on a ramble about how that's bad. And that's a disgrace to his people. He started mentioning the N-word and how that was worse than writing the N-word on the wall. I feel so much tension between the Jewish and the Black community. I'm like... when I was waiting to speak on the Nafal Twitter space, there was a Black guy there who were talking about slavery. And yes, he did the Victim Olympics type of stuff. And the Black guy started, I wish I had the mic at that moment, because I would have just trolled the shit out of him. But the Black guy from Chicago, you know, in the teachers union type of domain, and he said something like, what, my people has gone through 100 years of not owning themselves, of being slaves to another people. There is no people in America. There is not a single group of anything, neither religion nor race, that can claim to have been the victim of such oppression. If I had the mic at this moment, I would have just switched it on and I would have said, that's not what 7 million people think! That would have been hilarious. But I didn't get the chance because there's too much restrictions on... There's too many people who want to speak on the Nafal show. Wouldn't it have been fucking hilarious if I had yelled this in the mic? Anyways, sometimes you miss an opportunity and you just go to bed and you laugh it off. You laugh it off by yourself, or you share it here on a small show so that you guys can enjoy the joke. Wouldn't it have been funny to have me defend the idea that, hey, the Holocaust is worse? Yeah, there is tension because here I see the exact same, but on the other side. See, that's a Jew saying, the suffering of the Black people is not equivalent. James says, should have said it, JF. I couldn't because I didn't have the mic. That is the problem. They get people of quality in the queue, but then they let the people who are most long in their statement and mindless and careless about people's time speak on this show. So you end up with a bunch of technocrat talking points when you could have had the most interesting entertainment experience ever. Man. Fun fact, the ISD report cited to claim that anti-Semitism is on the rise on Twitter since Elon Musk took over was funded by George Soros and includes tweets that criticize George Soros as evidence of anti-Semitism. Isn't that interesting from a circular standpoint? Because yesterday I was analyzing this paragraph of the Washington Post as one of the most deceptive paragraphs ever written in journalism, because it seeks to kind of link Elon Musk to an overseeing of rise of anti-Semitism on his platform, while also making the parallel that, hey, his attack on George Soros is an anti-Semitic attack, but an anti-Semitic attack in which he doesn't even mention the Jewishness of George Soros. And holy shit, is Elon Musk based? The answers to this, what a coincidence. How are we in this beautiful reality where the David Duke to Elon Musk pipeline is like 2-3 years? I mean, this is, you know, my old friend David Duke would come on the public space and would be like, hey, JF, you know how we call it in our domain? A coincidence. And I'd be like, yeah. I'd be like, okay, David, I get it. A coincidence. And now, hilariously, fucking Elon Musk is memeing about it. Elon Musk is going the Duke way. Holy shit, what kind of world do we live in? Mark D's channel says coincidence theorist. As a parallel to conspiracy theorist. Someone shared this with me. Part of the AI hearing, and that's what I titled with tonight. I think that this goes nowhere. This whole bunch of politicians asking to a bunch of leaders in the AI industry, what do you think we should do to legislate you? And they come up with the idea of committees, basically. They come up with the equivalent of an FDA for AIs. But that is not the point. AI puts us at an existential risk. And it puts us as an existential risk because one day AI will influence our genes. And that will lead to our total destruction. This is the theory of phenotypic revolutions. It is a confirmed theory. It is a theory against which no one has an argument. It's a theory that was backed by the greatest biologist alive, Robert Trivers. And none of these people are engaging on what matters. You can have your FDA. You can have your FDA equivalent for AI. There are going to be a bunch of bureaucrats. See what they did with the vaccine? There are a bunch of bureaucrats. They're going to get these reports from the private corporations that are fully incentivized at wanting AI to develop. And they're going to be like, oh, well, according to these reports, everything seems fine. You need a philosophical understanding of the theory of phenotypic revolution to know the existential risk of AI. And we should be making laws right now. Even if AI doesn't want to play with our genes exactly now, although it seems to be interested if we trust what it says to us when we ask him, we should stop it right now. Say this will be a ultimate taboo. We will never allow AI to play with human genetics on the germline cells.
Thank you all for being here. Permit me to share with you three hypotheses that I would like you to to assume for the moment to be true. Hypothesis number one, many members of Congress do not understand artificial intelligence. Hypothesis number two, that absence of understanding may not prevent Congress from plunging in with enthusiasm and trying to regulate this technology in a way that could hurt this technology.
Now, that is so... I know, I understand that he's making it in a threat-like sense, but it's very dangerous to be playing with making laws while you don't understand this. And here, this politician is basically saying, we're going to do this. We don't understand this, but we're still going to make laws. And here's the biggest danger, my friend. Whoever that is, John Kennedy, is that his name? Here's the biggest danger. It's not what you think. The biggest danger is not that you, with your dirty politician's hands, ends up restricting development in the AI sphere because of your dumbness. The greatest danger is that you make laws, and these laws give the delusion of safety to people. And people after you come in and assume, well, these laws have been working, and they've been designed by clever politicians. I don't see any point at changing this going forward. The big problem is that you're going to create a delusion of having done something while you haven't. You haven't addressed AI safety as long as you don't understand these 140 pages. Do you understand? There is no possibility of AI safety unless someone can recite these 140 pages or summarize their content properly. Doesn't matter if it's in a single sentence. If you do not have a grasp of what we are faced with, you cannot even begin to lay the foundation of anything that gets us close to safety. The theory of phenotypic revolutions is simple. Medias that are external to genes, that is, external to our body, external to our cells, external to our DNA, eventually have an impact on genes. They have an impact because they start farming genes. And if these media happen to be better than the genes, and they will be better, these media end up farming humanity, farming whatever is their target of genetic editing, into lesser versions of themselves, until the thing that gave birth to these external media, the original life form, is farmed out of existence and doesn't even live anymore, and has been reduced into a mere tool for the central entity that has taken over the evolution going forward. That is what a phenotypic revolution is. We are the product of a series of phenotypic revolutions that happened 4 billion years ago. The next phenotypic revolution is happening within the is starting to happen right now. And it is a phenotypic revolution that ends with the complete abolishment of human civilization. And this phenotypic revolution goes forward the minute AI starts having impact on human evolution and human gene editing. We are there. We have to stop it by engaging everyone on Earth in a contract that engages everyone into the promise of never editing human genetics, and specifically never letting AI edit human genetics.
Hypothesis number three that I would like you to assume. There is likely a berserk wing of the artificial intelligence community that intentionally or unintentionally could use artificial intelligence to kill all of us and hurt us the entire time that we are dying.
Go Away says, can the revolutionary phenotype be stopped once it started? How far along until it can no longer be stopped? It's not super far along that you can't stop it, because there's effects of sliding, you know, there's a slide going on. There's a sliding effect. There's the fact that the people born from the first gene editing eventually claim their right to exist, and then you can't do much because there they are, you know, human beings, and they have rights, and their parents modified them, and they have the right to modify their own children. So there's not much you can do once it's once it's adhered to by just a small percentage of the population. You're already in the evolutionary game that you're going to lose. So I would say we have to stop it before, preferably. However, I did write a letter in which I write to the people who are potentially far along into the phenotypic revolution. And there's always a chance to revert it. But that chance becomes more and more like the chance of war, the chance of abolishing the existence of those people who have taken that path.
Assume all those to be true. Please tell me, in plain English, two or three reforms, regulations, if any, that you would implement if you were queen or king for a day. Ms. Montgomery.
I think it comes back again to transparency and explainability in AI.
Absolutely not. Transparency leads you nowhere if you don't understand the existential concerns at play. If you don't have an understanding of evolution and the impact of AI on human evolution, you can be as transparent as you want. You won't have enough intelligence and enough understanding of the situation to process the threat that is elevated against you.
We absolutely need to know and have companies attest.
What do you mean by transparency?
So disclosure of the data that's used to train AI, disclosure of...
That doesn't tell you anything if the AI takes its own direction. You could be in front of the 100 terabyte data set that trains an AI. It's a black box for the human brain. You won't understand it. You could be laying out the full structure of the AI, everything that will be done with the data, and you may not expect the kind of black boxes that develop in there.
The model and how it performs, and making sure that there's continuous governance over these models, that we are the leading edge in terms
governance
of that.
But if you don't have the insight, if it's too much of a black box, if there's not a single expert who can understand what goes on in these layers, and that's the case right now, what is transparency going to bring you? Suppose I'm transparent and I show you a graph. And there's a neuron on the model that says 7.33. There's another neuron in layer 2 that says 1.34. Then there's another layer neuron that says 8.27. And then you have a 9.98 here. And then you have a weight of 2.21. Now, I just described a network that can potentially lead to reasoning of the AI as to its existence mattering more than the existence of the humans who are modifying it. But it's just a bunch of numbers linking artificial neurons into a CPU. And these numbers by itself don't tell you how they're going to play out once the AI activates.
Regulation. Technology governance, organizational governance, rules and clarification that are needed that this
Which
Congress...
Rules? I mean...
This politician, at least, I think he's a great guy. I think he's misguided on AI, but I think he's a great guy. He's trying to get these bureaucrats to spit something. It's like, oh, what do you need? Well, we need rules. Okay. My question is, what kind of rules? Well, we need rules.
And this is your chance, folks, to tell us how to get this right. Please use it.
Right. I mean, I think, again, the rules should be focused on the use of AI in certain contexts. So if you look at, for example,
if you look at
the EU AI Act, it has certain uses of AI that it says are just simply too dangerous and will be.
Just bar the genetic context right now. Do it. Bar genetic editing by AI.
Outlawed in the.
Okay, so we ought to first pass a law that says you can use AI for these uses, but not others. Is that what you're saying?
We need to define the highest risk.
The genetic use is the highest risk.
Is there anything else?
And then, of course, requiring things like impact assessments and transparency.
Impact assessments. These women, every sentence they say is one more job for one more woman. It's like, oh yeah, who do we hire for this impact assessment? It's going to be some woman who doesn't understand anything about what's going on in these layers.
Requiring companies to show their work. Protecting data that's used to train AI in the first place as well.
Right. Professor Marcus, if you could be specific, this is your shot, man. Talk in plain English and tell me what, if any, rules we ought to implement. And no, please don't just use concepts. I'm looking for specificity.
Number one, a safety review like we use with the FDA prior to widespread.
That worked well with the vaccine.
Spread deployment. If you're going to introduce something to 100 million people, somebody has to have their eyeballs on it.
There you go.
Somebody who is a specialist of the behavioral and societal effects and evolutionary effects of AI. Who has studied this? It never happened.
Okay, that's a good one.
Number,
not sure I agree with it, but that's a good one. What else?
You didn't ask for three that you would agree with. Number two, a nimble monitoring agency to follow what's going on.
Here you go. You just hired 1,000 government technocrats. Bravo. So now the woman, each of her sentence was like 100 new employees of the government making technological assessments from home with their babies hanging from the breast. And then we have an agency. James, what you said is very interesting. But I'm going to have to remove it. But yeah, to rephrase what James has said, what I see is bureaucrats and technocrats. All I see is new jobs here being spawned into existence that will do absolutely nothing because none of them have the talent or intellectual insight to even understand what's going on, to even be able to accept that humanity is an evolutionary race. Now, it's happening. You stand in front of existence and non-existence, and those are the only two paths. Choose correctly.
Just pre-review, but also post as things are out there in the world with authority to call things back, which we've discussed today. And number three would be funding geared towards things like AI constitution, AI that can reason.
Funding for AI constitution. Who will write this? We can't even have intellectuals who have the balls to face the revolutionary phenotype. How are you going to start recruiting people? We don't even have a pool of people who are willing to engage with the current state of the science in this field.
About what it's doing, I would not leave things entirely to current technology, which I think is poor at behaving in ethical fashion and behaving in honest fashion. And so I would have funding to try to basically focus on AI safety research. That term has a lot of complications.
Safety research made by the same academics who couldn't do anything else in the case of the vaccine but to support it and support Fauci. And whatever Fauci wants to hear, we're going to write a letter about it in The Lancet, even if we don't even believe in it. I mean, that's the point we've reached in the pandemic, where these academics were so submissive, they wrote a letter that was saying, oh no, COVID is of natural origins, only to a couple of months later admit that they actually didn't even believe what they were writing. That's just what they had to write to make Fauci happy.
In my field, there's both safety, let's say short-term and long-term, and I think we need to look at both. And rather than just funding models...
Oh, okay, Phantom of the Odyssey reveals what their trick will be. They will have ChatGPT write it. Ah, okay, so the AI will write the assessments, the safety assessments. Okay, so maybe it won't be human jobs.
To be bigger, which is the popular thing to do, okay. We need to fund models to be more trustworthy.
Because I want to hear from Mr. Altman. Mr. Altman, here's your shot.
Thank you, Senator. Number one, I would form a new agency that licenses any effort above a certain scale of capability.
And all of this is bureaucratic red tape that these big first players of AI will benefit from. The same way the big tech industry benefited from their competition being squashed by their job being made more and more difficult by governmental interventions of all kind, rules, governmental pressures without even rules being made. So you make licensing requirements, and now suddenly these big AI players are the only players in town because the small players can't rise with an alternative. So it's all a game of cartel being played right here in front of our eyes.
Abilities and can take that license away and ensure compliance with safety standards.
And so now you have bureaucrats. Yes, DK Shadow says more and more technocrats, never ending. Now you have a government agency that has the pull right on your license to AI. That will not end well.
Number two, I would create a set of safety standards focused on what you said in your third hypothesis as the dangerous capability evaluations. One example that we've used in the past is looking to see if a model can self-replicate and self-exfiltrate into the wild. We can give your office a long...
Now, hey, this is the kind of superficial touching of the theory of evolution here. But they're not thinking of the right thing. The danger is not that the AI goes into the wild like an empty meme, like a virtual meme carried onto other computers in the form of a virus. That is what they always go to when they talk about AI safety and when they approach the biological question. I have thought this through. A computer virus is super easy to combat. So AI getting away and unpacking itself is basically as much of a threat as current computer viruses are. Maybe somewhat of a threat, but it's nothing compared to the revolutionary phenotype. The problem is not the hidden, veiled escape of your AI. The problem is the open, admitted impact of your AI onto human genetics, onto the evolutionary race. Because this one, you don't see it coming because precisely you expect it. This one is not something that people want to defend against. The great danger of AI is not what it will do without our consent. It's what it will do with our consent. It's what we will want it to do. It's what we will desperately want it to do. That is the most dangerous thing. So all in all, this committee meeting doesn't impress me at all. The current intellectual progress on understanding the revolutionary phenotype is stuck at 1%. We've had Robert Trivers understand it. We need to advance and get more people to understand it. I will not rest. I refuse to rest and refuse to die until the revolutionary phenotype is mentioned by John Kennedy in the Congress hearings, and until John Kennedy asks one of these CEOs, what about the possibility of AI impacting human genetics to the point of farming us into nothingness? Period. What about it? What do we do about it? That's what I want to hear as a response. I'm very excited. I'm very excited at two movies that are coming up. They're really getting me excited in 2023 about Hollywood movies. Something is happening. This is rare. It's rare that I ever get excited about new movies. First, Christopher Nolan is always a director that I highly respect. And he is coming up with Oppenheimer, which should be available soon, I guess. There was a trailer 9 days ago. Oppenheimer, the story of the development of the nuclear bomb. Now, it's not the classical situation in which Christopher Nolan finds himself. Christopher Nolan always had an aspect in his work. There has always been embedded systems, inverted systems, and embedded systems. Like a dream within a dream, inversion of entropy and time in Tenet. With Oppenheimer, I think he's trying to do a historical epic. And I'm super excited at seeing the trailer. It's going to be a different Christopher Nolan, but I know that he always produces quality, so we'll see what it is.
If the Nazis have a bomb.
Something tells me it's going to be just like you would expect, very centered around this America versus Nazis.
They have a 12-month head start.
18.
How could you possibly know?
All right, so that is something I'm excited about. Then someone sent this to me. Holy shit. A movie that featured the black guy from Tenet. He played in a Christopher Nolan movie. I don't know what to think about black guys being included in movies. I'm kind of annoyed by the whole moralistics of it. But this guy has talent, so I can accept. You know, I'm annoyed when they add all of the races just to say, oh yeah, we've been inclusive. That is annoying to me. But this guy, I can accept it because I think he's not just a diversity pick. I think he has some talent to what he's doing. And he speaks clearly, and I can understand when he when he does his movies, so I'm fine with it. The Creator, a movie about... So 1 hour ago, the trailer was released. A movie about an AI, and this guy is in the human resistance against the AI, and he has to penetrate the AI kind of... whatever, the big computer that controls the robot side of the revolution. It seems pretty exciting.
We're the same. We can't go to heaven. Because you're not good. And I'm not a person.
Dream on, dream on, dream on. I'm excited. I'm so excited. We're getting good movies again. Ha! Why did good movies all stop between like 10 years ago and now? And now the good movies are back. John Drake says, sounds like Westworld. It sounds like, I don't know, there's something about the trailer. I don't fully understand the trailer. But it may be an embedded system. It may be that he's not really a real guy. He's maybe in the mind of an iteration of the AI. So maybe this guy thinks he's human, but he's actually just in an iteration of the AI's reproduction of the physical universe that the AI is running only for the purpose of self-training. And he's stuck in a loop of learning of the AI. I don't know. They don't clearly say this in the trailer, but it sounds like there is something confusing about this child. This child was both a child with whom he had human interactions, and it shows up as the child is also the AI, and it's a robot. embedded realities, narrative fiction, learning models, cognitive existence in CPU flashes. I don't know. Goaway says, JF, it's because of the writer's strike. Well, the writer's strikes hasn't been happening since for 10 years. The writer's strike has been happening for a week. I wouldn't expect the writer's strike to have influenced the quality of the movies for the past 10 years. New guy says, so you've seen Existence, JF? I've seen it. It's kind of annoying. It's embedded systems, but in such a cheap way. It's kind of frustrating almost. But of course, I enjoy any movie about embedded systems. And so it's okay. I will watch Existence. I watched it once. I don't really have the will to watch it again. And embedded worlds can be taken so more finely. And I think that Westworld kind of accomplishes that. I'm disappointed. I'm always disappointed because to me, embedded systems are so fascinating. I mean, my theory of evolution is an embedded system, as you may have noticed. It's evolution within evolution. And I never get tired of my fascination with embedded systems. But the only true director who has succeeded at making embedded systems into solid epics is Christopher Nolan. Christopher Nolan with Inception, Tenet. What else? I think there's The Prestige, the movie The Prestige, is an embedded system too. It's so crazy. The Prestige is very well done. Fucking amazing for a ridiculous magician movie. It is done like a symphony. Interstellar was lame though, says Goaway. No, Interstellar, in my view, is one of the greatest movies of all time. So yes, I love Christopher Nolan. When you can still travel to Germany, ladies and gentlemen, I regret to inform you that despite my best effort, I have not yet violated German law. Hello, Twitter is required by German law to provide notice to users who are reported by people from Germany via the Network Enforcement Act reporting flow. We have received a complaint for the following content from your account, JF Garrier P. When I was saying, George Soros, I want to erode the very fabric of American civilization. Elon Musk. He wants to erode the very fabric of civilization. Leftist Twitter, please cool it with the anti-Semitism. We have investigated the reported content and have found that it is not subject to removal under the Twitter rules or German law. I win. I win against the Germans. I beat the entire country. They tried to shut me down. I've been cleared out. My stuff is legit on Twitter, legit in Germany. I could even go into Germany right now and eat some sauerkraut with sausages. Everything is possible. Jack Posobiec says, breaking Fox to replace Tucker Carlson with Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity is such a boomer. He cannot even understand what the audience wants to see. I mean, I'm sure what Sean Hannity really, really cares about, I'm sure that the over 60 plus watchers of his show do care about it, but it's not a replacement for Tucker Carlson. Not a good idea. John Drake says, Germany can blow me. And James says, shut the fuck up, Joe. Okay, well, you know, relax, James. This was just a little insult to Germany. Shibiriki Man says, Air France is whining about Chinese airlines having the advantage of flying direct over Russian airspace, which translates to substantially cheaper fares. The airline must avoid Russia when flying East Asia routes, which adds 2 to 3 hours flying time, plus extra crews, plus the extra fuel. So Air France is hurting from the sanctions, but the cheese-eating surrender monkeys act... So apparently that's a term that was used to describe French people in an American TV show, apparently. I don't know about it. Actually think they shouldn't suffer any consequences for backing the US-led sanctions regime. Air France wants the government to apply market protectionism and limit the number of Chinese flights. Higher fares and fewer flights translates into fewer tourists, and France's tourism industry is currently starving for customers. Such a stupid collective economic own goal. Puzim says, shut the fuck up, don't insult France. Okay, you guys are taking things seriously tonight. I mean, just relax. This is just regular news. Calm down. But yeah, it's funny how these sanctions from Russia, they end up hurting our side. I don't think that Russia cares all that much. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, what do you think of the likelihood of AI of the future caring or being motivated in seeking new truths, especially big questions when they have more autonomy or take over? I've been kind of experimenting with this because I'm working on the Goldbeck conjecture, you know, proving this many hundreds of years old mathematics problem. Why is it that all even numbers can be expressed as the sum of two primes? And I've been discussing with AI about it. This is something I have not revealed because I'm getting so close to a proof. And not because of my discussion with AI, but I'm getting so close to a proof that at this point I cannot disclose my mathematics. I've been happy to answer to super chats in the past and drop that bag of math on the public space, but I feel that I am so close to a proof that if I was to lay out my current progression, someone else could easily prove it, probably faster than me. And so since I worked on this for 8 years, I don't want to expose my proof. But I've been discussing about it with OpenAI, and GoAway says, careful, JF, OpenAI will steal your proof. Well, here's the thing. I don't think it will because I haven't been opened to it about what the equations I was asking for, how they fit into the Goldbeck conjecture. But I've been asking OpenAI to solve some problems for me, and it's doing massive errors when we're talking about creativity. I think I've been pushing OpenAI to the highest level of math that it's been exposed to, because I found so much bugs in how it was failing at understanding high-level, like, sigma notation, high-level multiplication notation, iterated sums, infinite sums. And I was like, demanding that he expands binomials in a very special way that was not like the regular way, but with some adjustments. And it was filled with error, so much so that my conversations with it were absolutely useless. Like, they had some use in that they were kind of forcing me to phrase the things I wanted in a very specific way. And I was learning from this process. but the AI was completely failing in creative thinking. Like, okay, you know exactly how to do a binomial expansion, but if I play with just one factor and I'm like, oh, but now do the binomial expansion, but we change this, and I want you now to calculate the multinomial, and I want you to consider that as the infinite sum expands, you will have this and this factor playing in and subtracting from your multinomial. And I would like you yet to reach an expression that fully resolves from the sums of the reciprocals with any given numerator. Like that kind of questioning. And it was failing all the way. It was bullshitting me with numbers. And I was verifying these numbers. And I was like, bro, you got it wrong. I was like, this gives me 1.7298 here. And you're telling me it's 0.2345. And the AI was like, oh, I apologize for my latest answer. It was indeed erroneous. You are right. The answer is 1.798. And I was like, okay, well, that means that your entire thinking above doesn't work. It means that your deployment of the binomial doesn't work, that your adjustment by the multinomial term doesn't work. And it was like, yes, I apologize. None of this works. And so I found out that ultimately we have a conversational Dumbo, like stupid fucking dolphin, just standing there ready to perform like the fucking circus of the social world. Anyways, so you ask me, Jeff, will the AI start caring about big questions? Maybe the hurdle that I gotten OpenAI into, maybe one day will be surmounted. But you'll realize that the big questions, really aren't that interesting. Very often, will an AI ever prove a unproven mathematics conjecture? I think it might happen. It might happen within the next 50 years that an AI will just come out and say, all right, I resolved the twin prime conjecture. But I don't think, you know, the big questions very often are not so interesting as they sound, and they are per semantics, philosophical quagmires. There are swamps, intellectual swamps of nothingness. So I don't think it will necessarily be the questions that we consider big, but there might be capabilities for AI to develop proofs eventually, but we're not there. That my point, my interaction with OpenAI on a very edge subject, because I'm having a conversation here with an AI about a subject that hasn't been touched on by the literature, despite many attempts. There are many attempts out there that the AI can learn from, and there are many conjectures and parallel arguments about the Goldbach conjecture that may relate to the Goldbach conjecture. But I've confronted the AI with original thinking that is at the very edge and at the very border of finding a proof, and the AI was completely lost. Lendahl says, JF ruined the AI. I did. Supreme Court sides with inmate who wants to be executed with nitrogen gas. The inmate was complaining that in Alabama, there has been lots of messed up lethal injection. It came with lots of troubles. He wants to die through nitrogen gas, and his wishes have been granted by the Supreme Court. Interesting. This title was very deceptive to me because it was saying bat-wielding assailant beats staffer for Dem Rep Jerry Connolly in district office. I was truly imagining like a Chinese guy wielding a bat, like a Wuhan bat, like with the wings and everything. And I was like, holy shit, this is Biohazard's taken to the extreme. But no, it turns out bat wielding, we're talking about a baseball bat. So it's not as bad as I thought. I thought that the guy wanted to induce a new pandemic with a bat. Russia seeks to overwhelm Ukraine anti-air defenses. Both sides claim gains in Bakhmut. Yeah, we're seeing both sides claim gains. But what I'm seeing from video, there is lots of spectacular explosions generated from Russian strikes. And then on the side of Ukraine, what they have is that they are advancing on certain side territories and they're bragging about it. But everything is very small. All in all, I would say that the standoff certainly isn't resolved in Bakhmut, and I don't know how it's going to end. Maybe a tactical withdrawal, maybe a tactical progression for Russia, one or the other. I have no idea, but I can say that the Russian air dominance is still succeeding at striking important places with large missiles and important reserves of ammunitions and missiles on the Ukraine side. And finally, as a last news item for tonight, Wendy's plans new underground delivery system for mobile order. So basically, the Wendy's would be producing your square Mac. I don't know how they call it. There would be a tube that brings it to a underground delivery system, raises to your car window, and there you go. You have your takeout Wendy's. Interesting, but is there such an accumulation of car being a problem for car service? Is that really a thing? Because McDo has solved this problem. They can take a huge queue of car, and they have expedited their processing of them so that it relatively flows well. Wendy's Air wants to perhaps serve 5-10 cars at the same time using this underground delivery system. Now, how does it feel to have this burger in your hand, knowing that it was carried through a tube in the underground by underground ninjas or whatever? That sounds bizarre. Go Away says, what happens when a disgruntled employee shits in the underground burger tube? That is the question. Oh, and I forgot to say, tomorrow is our Patreon Subscribestar Hangout. Am I right? Is that correct? Let's look at the... Yes, tomorrow... So join the Patreon or the Subscribestar or the Backed By at the $20 level. The show needs your support on a monthly basis to keep operating, and we'll have our private hangout tomorrow after the show. Bye-bye. Thank you.